Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm your host, Nikki.
I'm your co-host, Gigi.
And this is
the Team Meyer podcast.
Woohoo. Today's episode is something that we know so well. Can we do math actually really fast? So I'm 30 and there's 12 games per season on average. Mm-hmm. 360 football games.
Yeah. And fun fact, mom, was it you or me that she brought to a football game when we were like 2 weeks old?
That was me, because I'm a September baby.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, planning obviously not involved. I was born in September, which is like week 3-4 of football season, which is like where conference games like really start to kick in. Mm-hmm. And then I come along and then mom brings me to the game and all the old ladies were yelling at her in the elevator. They're like, why do you have a 2-day old baby here?
Were you 2 days old or 2 weeks old?
No. Like days. I was 2 days.
Really?
Old. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. We'll make mom explain that one, but she was shamed. Rightfully so. Don't do that.
Football games are loud. I don't know if an infant can handle that, but I mean, you seem to hear fine. So I think you're okay.
No, I actually don't. I have bad hearing. Oh my God. That's it.
That's why.
I'm going to sue mom.
Sue mom.
I'm going to sue her for that.
Old ladies were just looking out for you.
I know. They knew better. She should have listened to the elders.
Yes.
Yeah. So 360 games at least, like at minimum for me, you know, knock off a couple years for you because you're 2 years younger than me. So 340 for you, let's say. Yeah. Have been like defining days of our lives.
Yeah.
Because game day is like, that's it. Like, that's what we're here for. There's lots of fun in football. We just talked about it last week, right? There's lots of gear and there's lots of fun stuff. There's lots of perks, but like, did you win or lose at the end of the day?
Right.
And if you say lose too many times, okay, then ultimately like the gear's gone, like no bowl game, like all the fun stuff, like eventually stops happening. So you have to win, right? So we thought today, Geej, didn't we think it'd be fun to like take the people through it? Like, what does game day look like for us? And don't you think that they'll be surprised? I bet it looks like very similar to their days, right? Oh, like, I think like sure. The anxiety is the same. Like the fun's the same. Everyone's kind of got their routine. Like the best of the fans like have their game day routine. So do we, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. So let's start here. Let's start like the preparation. Like all the great coaches, all the great players say it starts with the preparation, right? All the great fans say the same thing. And we're fans here, just like everybody else. So, okay. Let's talk about the predictables of the pregame, like of before the game starts. But we are in Saturday. Let's be clear. Like it is game day. So what are the predictable things that we can count on happening before the game begins? Cool?
Yes.
So we have a full house of people, obviously. Mm-hmm. Lots of company.
Like the whole weekend.
Yeah, like they come Thursday and they leave like Sunday, which is a long time. Mom loves this. No, she's like hot and cold. Like she loves it when we win because it's like time to party.
Oh, it's a party time, yeah.
But what if you have company and you lose? Like everyone just goes to bed, like leave. I didn't have dinner, leave. Sorry. Did you pack a granola bar in case this happened? Or sneak down to the pantry after dad goes to bed. Like no one's eating dinner in this house.
Every man for themselves if we lose.
Yeah. Like, it's every man for himself. And I hope you're not in this house because I wish I was not in this house. It's not fun. So, but if you are in this house and you do win, which thank God the majority of the time we did, it's like, everyone's so happy and dad's so happy because this is the first time he's actually acknowledged the company is post win. Mm-hmm. So they've been here since Thursday and dad hasn't acknowledged that they're actually here because he's so game mode, right? Mm-hmm. Until post game.
Yeah.
So now he's acknowledging they're here. Everybody's happy. Everybody's celebrating.
What is one thing dad always does at that post game party with everyone around that he somehow can do when there's a room full of people. He naps.
Falls asleep. He likes that.
I know.
Like he like,
everyone's like, okay, do you want us to like go? And he's like, no, no, no. And then he takes a quick little nap. And then he's up like 10 minutes later and is back at it.
He's so happy about that. It's like his, that's like his guilty pleasure. Like when it's like game time's over, he's like, I'm just going to take a nap when everyone's around me. And everyone's like worried about it, but like, that's what he wants.
That is so funny.
It is actually hilarious. I didn't write that down, but I was thinking about it because sure. It's so predictable. Mm-hmm. So also shout out to coaches' wives, because ticket delegation is basically rocket science. Yes. Like you're actually a rocket scientist when it comes to, all right, well, we have to have this side of the family here, but then they need to sit here because they have 5 family members, but then they have 2. So they have to sit here. But then like, I mean, it just like never works. But then like there's people in the ticket office that like help make magic happen and like make sure everyone is like where they need to be and then seated properly, because ticket situations are really hard. We talked last episode, Geege, like we have tickets, like we've got tickets, but like it's a science. Who, what, when, where, and why gets the tickets.
I remember
sometimes
I did all the time asking mom for tickets for my friends. Like it was really hard. It was a really tough conversation to have with her.
Oh yeah.
Hey mom, can I just have 1 ticket?
That's what she did.
We'll see. And then the day before we know.
I'm twitching. I know you're listening to me, but I'm like twitching. Like, hey mom, for the game this weekend, twitch. Like it's like she can't, it's just a lot because you know she already had 99 people ask for like a ticket. But you know what? Everyone just wants to come support. And so that's like the good, that's the good news. The bad news is, okay, now you have to make it work. Mm-hmm. But they do. They always do. It's just, man, it's, and I had my first taste of that, not this year because COVID. So like there were no tickets, but like, I've started to get a baby tiny taste that I get like 4 tickets compared to mom who got like 111 yeah. billion. But like, so I understand on a smaller scale, it's a lot. It's a lot of conscious effort to make everyone happy. So you got a full house, you got lots of tickets, full house after a win, freaking jackpot, full house after a loss. You're probably not eating dinner and everyone's depressed and no one is allowed to speak. So those are totally predictable now. But let's go back though. Let's rewind. Pre-game. Everyone has a routine because we all feel like our bit of the routine impacts the game. Like the fact that I'm wearing the same shirt under the jersey that I always wear matters. Like that totally like impacts the game.
Superstitious. Yeah. Who are yes. superstitious family? Dad is very superstitious.
Dad is the most superstitious person on the world. Well, and he'll argue. He'll be like, no, it's not about luck. It's not superstition. It's routine is his word. Like everything is the same. And we talked last week about how the schedule is very predictable. Well, every detail in the schedule is predictable. What dad's wearing, what dad's doing, what dad's saying, what we're doing when we wake up on game day, what we send to the family group text is very predictable, very routine. So the routine matters now. And we're going to talk about like the good luck text in a minute. Cause it's like the perfect, like somebody triggers it. And then it's like the influx of good luck. Mm-hmm. And, but we'll get to that in a minute. Cause that's like actual game time. So back to pregame, we tailgate. And tailgating is like sacred time. Like it's so fun. And mom is like queen tailgate.
She plans it out to a T.
Yes. Like even the way she packs her car, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the so same.
Perfectly packed. She has the same stuff every time. Her pepperoni bread.
Pepperoni bread. I've been eating that for 30 years. Yes. I'm pretty sure I was eating it at 2 days old at the game that day. Pepperoni bread.
Pepperoni bread, the best.
So when we tailgate though, like we're with all our family and then all the coaches' families. Like it's like a nook of like all the wives and all the wives' families. And it's so awesome because we're all in the same vibe. Like we're trying really hard to have fun. Mm-hmm. Like I really want to have fun in the back of my mind, I'm freaking out because it's game day and we have to win today. But I'm like, I've got my best game face on, my best tailgate face on. Like, I'm having a good time right now. Mm-hmm. And when there's like noon game, it's like brunch. Like, people bring donuts and waffles and Bailey's and coffee, yeah, and hot chocolate, you know, like, it's more like, and we text about that, like, all week, all the wives are like, hey, I'll bring this. And it's like a collective effort. And then if it's like an 8 PM game, all bets are off. You could have donuts and pepperoni bread.
Yeah. Pepperoni bread.
You know, like, it's like hodgepodge. If it's like anything after 3:30, you know, because, and I understand that, because if you're at an 8 PM game, like, you might need a donut because you're probably going to be up till 2, mm-hmm, maybe 3. So it just makes sense. I understand the logic there. But yeah, we're with all the families. And it's just like some of my best memories because everybody just lines up, you know, along the whole row, and you got the back of your car open. Mom has had a dead car battery 900 billion times and brings her own jumper cables with her. That hasn't happened in a while. I guess she maybe figured out how to like not have her car die during a tailgate. But like, don't you remember, like, that used to happen like every day?
I don't remember that for some reason.
Oh, all the time. It was like mom's car battery died because she was like playing the music, like with her car kind of on, but not all the way on, and the battery would die like every week.
No way. That's hilarious.
That was like 10 years ago though. Maybe they improved like the technology or something, or Shelly improved process. Yeah. TBD on who, like, what fixed that problem. But yeah, the tailgate was awesome. Now, mom was here earlier today helping me. She was just hanging out with the boys and she wanted to tell a story. I think you witnessed this. I think you were an eyewitness. You weren't necessarily a participant, but you saw it. So what's like the one thing that really got popular at our tailgates at Ohio State? And it was like one of our neighbors who got really into it, and they would bring different flavors to all the
Jello shots.
Yes. Good job. I was wondering if you're going to get that. So, okay. Jello shots.
Like wild flavors.
Like butter pecan, yeah. Boston pie. Like what? Okay. Sounds awesome.
Yes. So good.
It was awesome. And like,
that was Anne and her husband,
Jim. I just saw them this past weekend. Yeah. Like, yeah, that they like became like the scientists behind like it.
Hundreds.
Like it was like tons. And it would be like once it was like on the hour, every hour, like somebody would walk around and we'd be like, I want Boston cream pie. And I see you have fire cinnamon ball. Like, I mean, it's just like the craziest flavors, and everybody would like take a Jello shot. Mm-hmm. Now, one time the interim president of the university came by to greet Mama Shells.
I did witness this. I know what you're talking about.
And I'm just like mom's like partner. I'm just like standing there, like trying to be a good hostess, like the tailgate hostesses that we are. And I didn't know this. And he was like, oh yeah, my name is, you know, Mr. Aludo. And I just wanted to come say hi. And I think mom panicked because she meets like 10,000 people a day. So like everybody cut her a little slack. Mm-hmm. She was doing her best. She was also like partially in mind because she's thinking about the game coming up, right?
In the vibe. Yeah.
She's in the vibe. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm Mr. Aludo. And she's like, oh, hey, it's so nice to see you. Would you want to, you know, let me think of a crazy strawberry daiquiri, pina colada, pineapple Jello shot. And she offered it to the interim president of the United States. Oh my God. But basically, because it's the Ohio State University. Did he take it? No. Oh. He did respectfully decline, but they laughed about it like on a lot of occasions after. Like, so it like made a lasting impact.
Okay.
For him in a good way, because that could have gone good or bad. And he was a champ. Like, he was like, I'm not going to do it, but I'm also not going to judge you. And then I think we're probably besties for a while. It's the vibe. It's a vibe. Like, game day is a vibe, and don't you dare disrupt the vibe. Yeah, don't do it. So anyways, so yeah, he respectfully declined, and mom was just telling me that story like an hour ago, and she was giggling. That's awesome. About it.
I remember that.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you saw it with your own eyes, because that was a sight. I saw it and I'm pretty sure I did not, like, I think I walked away. I was like, oh God, this is bad. I'm not part of this. And like, I abandoned ship. I
think you might have offered, I can't remember. It was someone from, it was at Florida, and it was someone from school or something. Like, he was a teacher at school. I can't remember. But you offered a jello shot to, like, I think it was like my school AD or something from Florida Gulf Coast.
Did he take it?
I think so.
Whoever it was.
I just remember a story where it was like, again, just the vibe. You don't drop the vibe and you just go with it.
My bad. Yeah. Jello shots. They're great. And you know, if it's like the breakfast vibe, it's like spiked hot chocolate or something awesome. Like, people are so creative. Like, I miss it so much. Like, my heart was really broken this year because there was no tailgating allowed and I wasn't pregnant, and I'm like always pregnant during football season. So that's just like a real treat to be able to participate in all that vibe. And I couldn't this year, even though I could. Like, I could, but then I couldn't because of COVID.
I was going to say that. I feel like you have a wide variety of just experiences being at football games your entire life. Like, you grew up as just the daughter, and now you're a wife, and sometimes you were pregnant and sometimes you had babies. And sometimes you didn't have babies. Whereas, like, I just,
sometimes I was a baby myself.
Sometimes you were a baby. You literally were a baby, like an infant. and I just kind of show up and I do my thing. It's very standard, but you've been all over the map.
I think that's just like par for the course of like my life.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I think you're a pro. Like,
just,
you're a pro.
I'm like a chameleon.
Timer. Yes, exactly.
I'm a chameleon. That's so funny. And that makes sense for you though, because you're just like steady. Like, I think you could have been anything. Like, you could have been any scenario in the picture and you would have just vibed. Yeah. Whereas, yeah, I get it. So, okay. I have like one note here, and like, mom like says this down to the line every week. She'll be like, okay, guys, like, let's go. And we're herding the cats out of the house. Mm-hmm. You know, like herding cats, what that looks like. Mm-hmm. It's just like a big mess. Like, everyone's like, whoa, like everyone's like, I forgot my bag. Oh, I forgot my coat. I forgot my face tattoo. I forgot my ticket. Like, everyone all of a sudden forgets something at the same time, I have to go pee, like at the same exact time. So then like everyone goes and fixes whatever they didn't get right. And we're out going out to the car again. And mom's like, okay, listen, I have a pot of chili in case we win, but I can't plan any more than that, 'cause I'll jinx it.
Yes.
Like, she like plans a little baby plan, but like no mas, like that's it. Because any more, it's a jinx and we're going to lose. So if you're like, hey guys, I have 59 pizzas that are ordered to deliver at 8 o'clock. We're going to lose if you do that, apparently. But if you're like, I made like a little pot of chili that will basically feed 3 people. Yeah. When there's 11 staying at the house. And then if we win, like,
stopping by.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another 24 stopping by, like, she made a pot for 5 people for chili, because that's all like that will be allowed by the universe, or else we're going to jinx it. So I just like always laugh, because then we win the majority of the time, right? Thank the Lord, like, love that. That is a blessing. But then it's like 11 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 6 o'clock, you know, depending on what time the game starts. And everyone's like, oh, we don't have food for 99 people. And like, everyone at that point just does their best. So somebody goes and orders 9 pizzas. Somebody runs to Kroger and gets wings, like in the meal to go section, and someone goes to a gas station and gets hot dogs. Like, somebody just, everyone just like scatters and gets food, and like we come back together. And then somebody always gets like drinks, so somebody shows up with like 12 bottles of champagne, or you know what I'm saying, like, mm-hmm. So the second we win, everyone's like, okay, this is my cue, go get something random and bring it back to the house. And it always,
it's so works. Spot on. It's not even funny.
It That's always true. Works. Because you can't plan too much. Yeah. It just cracks me up, because I do the same thing now. I'm like, I even do that. I'm like, I can't plan too much, but you want to plan enough in case, so nobody dies of starvation, but like not too much to jinx it. Just cracks me up. So, okay. Look, that's my pregame. Do you have any pregame like predictables? Do you think I got them, or are there any that I'm missing?
No, I think that's pretty good. Mom's has a very, very particular way of getting to the stadium. Remember that? She had her very specific route that she had to follow every single time.
But it's the best freaking route in the entire world.
It is.
It's
a secret. We can't tell anyone.
I won't tell, but let me explain. So I have really awesome friends. I won't say their names in case, like, I don't know, whatever. But I've ridden to games with them for years, like since I had kids, because mom goes so early. And so lately, like I haven't been able to go as early because I got to coordinate the sitter and like, I don't want to be gone all day. So I've like tried to explain to them how to get to the game. And like, I couldn't even remember because I never drove with mom. Mm-hmm. So we would try a new route like every week. And like, we'd finally get it game like 6. And we'd have the luxury of like the ease of getting there like 2 times. And then like the season would end. And then the next year we would do the same thing. And then finally, like after the 3rd year of us like going together, we have it like clockwork. Like we've got it. We know exactly where to go. But I've had some nightmare scenarios where we get stuck on High Street going the wrong way, the parking pass, the one-way streets. Like it's just like a mess. So yes, mom's way is the right way. It's the golden way. And if it's the wrong way, I don't want to be right, because literally it's so fast and no one knows about it and there's no traffic. Thank you for bringing that up. So should we talk about like the game time predictable? So kickoff happens. Now, where are we?
Well, actually, I want to talk about a tradition mom has.
Okay.
How she literally won't go in until after kickoff, right?
Because everyone's seen the national anthem.
Right.
We've all seen it. I'm not ready to face reality yet, I think is like her vibe. Mm-hmm. Because once you're faced with like that kickoff and the clock ticks, the anxiety begins. Right. Until then though, like it's denial till the end. Like as long as you're at that tailgate, nothing's happening but a party. But like when you walk in and you're faced with like the plays happening, like then you have to pay attention and then you have to get anxiety. But until then, like you're just having a great time. So I'm glad you brought that up. She's always late.
Yeah, always on purpose.
And then you have some guests who come who are like, oh, we're going to go watch warmups, which are like an hour and a half before the game starts. And mom's like, bye, here's your ticket. I'll see you later. Like she just like, go to gate 32 and go on in. See you there. Like, it's so funny. Always late. So am I.
We all are. Again,
sorry, Corey.
National anthem many times, but.
And it's beautiful. Like, I love that. But it also just means that I have to face reality a little sooner. And like, I'm just trying to like catch my breath for a minute.
That's a good point. So like tailgating's playtime, straight denial. Up until you walk into the
denial, it's
anxiety.
Yeah. Maybe I'll stay a whole game out there one day.
I've done that before at Bowling Green. I was
maybe you had it all figured out when you were like 7, even though you got left behind, but worth it because you had no anxiety that day. And then somebody sparks like the good luck. Everybody says good luck. Mm-hmm. Somebody sparks it and then everyone's like, good luck, good luck, good luck, good luck. Like, and it's like, you got this. Let's go. Let's go. Like it comes from all angles at that point, but someone's got to spark it. And then dad says, here we go.
Yes, he does.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. And that's like, and it's like such a visual because it's as he's on the bus, like, and we know like 2 hours until game time is when the walk begins. Like that's when like they get off the bus, or no, I'm sorry. Like for home games, they come out of the hotel, go to school session and then walk across to stadium. But like any university, like no matter where you are, like 2 hours is like where they're suited up, like walking somewhere. So that's pretty standard. And yeah, right before that, somebody starts it and then dad says, here we go. And then 2 minutes later, he's getting off the bus, like leading the walk. Yep. So the good luck text. Now we finally go into the game, let's say. So we, you know, get, we overcome our denial and we decide.
Ready to face reality.
I guess I'll face reality, I guess, reluctantly. And the game time panic. I mean, we could be up 21-3 and there's no ease. Like everyone's still like watching every play and, you know, getting frustrated, like just like fans. Like, so the fans who are like, you know, getting all flustered or upset, like, I hear you. We do the same thing. The game time panic. There's no ease during a football game.
There is nothing like, though, the chills that you get when the team runs out. Do you ever get that? Mm-hmm. Like when the team runs out and it's just, it's chills. It's, I love that part, but.
I love it because, like, so.
At that moment.
So year like seven. So dad's last year at the shoe, I finally made besties with all of the stadium workers. Mm-hmm. And they're awesome. Like, cause they would be so mad. They're like, ma'am, you can't be here. And I'm like, please, like, I just want to wave to my dad or whatever. Like, and so eventually like we all start to know each other and like first game of the season comes around. We're like, hey, like, how is your, you know, half a year that I haven't seen you? Good to be back. And I like would wedge my way right by the big giant speaker. Mm-hmm. And I had like a shot, like eye shot of dad, like jumping or, you know, like whatever with what all, with the players in the front. And I would just have chills. Like, you're right. Total chills because I saw dad like so fierce. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that look, like he didn't even see us, like, or me, or I know we would all kind of do it. Like, but he didn't even know we were there because he was so tunnel visioned at that point. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like total chills because he'd just be like, kind of jump in. Like mm-hmm. sometimes he's like throwing the fist like this, yeah. like getting fired up in. He's like not 18, 19, 20, like, you know what I'm saying? And he's still getting that game day, like spirit. And it's just, it's a total, it's so fun to see it. And, but yeah, it like gives me major chills.
So another classic mistake though, on my part, so, mm-hmm. you think I would have learned this after like the second time that happened, but I'm not even kidding. It happened like 15 times when, okay. After the team runs out, the band is playing on the field, right?
Oh my and God.
What do they have to do when they're done playing?
Move.
You have to book it out of their way because they literally cannot stop. They literally cannot stop. And so
they'll get trampled.
They'll get trampled. And you'll get trampled because they're coming, oh, yeah. and they don't stop. And so they literally, you get stuck, shoved up against the fence and the wall because they can't stop. And so this happened to me probably like
over under of 10 times. Over under.
And you can see it. Like, you make eye contact with them and they're like, you better freaking because I can't stop marching right now. So get out of the way.
I'm coming at you. And like, you clearly have time to run to the side, but then you freeze because you're like, oh man, I did it again. I forgot again. Oh my God. I'm so glad you brought that up because that is crisis. Crisis in the shoe.
Understand what the real experience is like. Like, you're literally shoved up by a bunch of band people against the wall.
And they keep coming because the whole band has to come out. Like, you know what I'm saying? The whole band has to come through that end zone.
Yes, exactly.
So it like, it just keeps coming. So I've had like, I've brought like guests, like I'm sure you have too. And you get caught in this scenario and everyone's like, and you're like, I like, you don't want to admit you knew better, but like, you definitely knew better. So every time I'm like, oh my God, like that was crazy. Even though like that happened to me like 6 days ago.
Every time.
Oh my God. That's so great. Like, what a freaking great contribution, Gigi. Yeah. That's gold.
Thank you.
So finally we like get out of that. Like, no one's actually hurt, I don't think. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if someone ever did get hurt, but like, I never did. I just was like very uncomfortable and I felt bad. I was like, I'm so sorry, I should have moved, but I forgot. So we get through that. Okay. we get through that.
There's many barriers we have to overcome until the game actually like happens for us.
Like kickoff hasn't even happened. Oh my God. So isn't it like a given if it's a close game, someone's crying? Like we might win, we might lose. We do win, we lose. Like somebody is crying all the time. Mom. There's like, I have a very raw, like vivid memory in my brain of the Penn State game at the Shoe. And we had a couple friends with us. It was me, you, mom, like Ross, like our buddy Luke was with us. And it was when we were down 2 touchdowns in the beginning. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And we were just getting our butts kicked. And I wouldn't have been fine with that, but I would have just been like, it would have been easier to let it go than if we came all the way back and then lost. You know what I'm saying? So we start coming all the way back. And I'm like, okay, now you're going to break my heart. Like, if you would have just, like, let them wipe us out, like, we would have been like, dang, that sucked. But now my heart's in it. Mm-hmm. And we have the ball, and it's the opportunity to take the lead. Like, JT Barrett has a ball, and he's just throwing it. Like, he's throwing. He's not even running. He's throwing. And it's, like, completion, completion, completion. And we've probably got 2 plays left. And I just start bawling because my heart can't take it anymore. I'm like, I'm here. I'm too into this now. Like, if we lose at this point, now I'm going to be pissed because I'm too optimistic. Like, I finally went from, like, we're going to lose to we're going to win, and now I'm going to be let down if we don't win. For the first time all game. And my friend Luke, who we've known, you know, Luke, like we've known Luke for 10 years at this point. He was staring at me and he was like, I think he said something the next day. And he was like, that was the most like raw moment I've ever experienced, like from a coaching like family, because it was like just my heart, like legitimately could not take the stress anymore. Now it's a good ending. We did win.
We won,
but there has been bad. And I mean, we've been in scenarios where we didn't, and then you just sob and you cry because you're miserable and sad. But like, I could not stop crying because we won.
Yeah. I mean, mom started crying. We all started crying.
Everybody. But my point is like, I started crying early. Like we hadn't even won or lost yet. It was just like, I was just stressed out. Like I was like, I got to cry.
Thinking about that game though, like one of the traditions we do have, right, is if it's a guaranteed win, we walk down to the field with 5 minutes left, right?
Yeah.
If it's not a guaranteed win, we don't.
But that wasn't guaranteed, but we were down there because we were in the vibe.
We were in the vibe. Because
we were trending towards like going to win. Like we had the momentum. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like a big dilemma. Like we were all sitting there, right? Mm-hmm. We were all sitting there and we were like, what do we do? Because you're right. I'm glad you said that. If it's not a guaranteed win, like you don't go down there, just like you don't make dinner plans because you're going to jinx it. But we had so much momentum. I think we were like really confident, but we hadn't done it yet. So we were on the field when this happened.
Right. And Troy was with us, wasn't he?
No, I have that for later in this episode. Yeah, that was another one. Mm. But no, that was Troy was alive, but no, he was not at that game.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, somebody's crying if it's close or dramatic, like, and it's either mom or me. Have you cried? Have you cried at any games?
I don't know. Usually after I see you guys something, I don't know.
Cry, but you're like the domino effect crier, not like the initiator.
I don't think I'm ever the initiator.
Good for you. I feel like I cry all the time. I have a memory at Florida. Like it was when we were playing Air Force and they were about to kick a field goal to win the game at like the 11-yard line or something. And gosh, I'm going to forget his name. He's so tall and South Carolina. I can't remember. Carolina Air Force. I can't remember. And he blocked it.
It's South Carolina. Yeah. That was insane.
I was crying before at the lineup of that play. Cause my heart like couldn't take it either way. Whatever happened, like it was going to be emotional. So I just cried first, like, but yeah. And that was, I think, the year that we won the national championship. 06. I don't know.
I think so. Do you remember what that video is? It gets so loud. I think it's the loudest I've ever heard a stadium ever be in the history of football.
It was so loud. Yeah. God, he was like, I don't know how he got that ball. It starts with a J. His name starts with a J, I swear. I don't know. But I like want to give him the proper credit because it was incredible. But yeah, like those are the scenarios like where no one knows what to do. So we just cry.
I do cry. I cry when I'm not with you guys. When I'm watching the game and we don't pull off the win, I cry. Ask Brian. One time we were at Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh. And
something that I never plan stuff on game day ever. But for some reason, like we were in Orlando and Brian had family in town. And
is this at the Iowa game?
No, it was against Penn State.
Oh.
We lost against Penn State away, I think. And yeah, I was like, Brian, I have to leave. And so I left Halloween Horror Nights, went home and just
sulked, licked your wounds.
Yeah. So yeah, it just feels weird when I'm not with you guys. It's a little bit harder.
Dude, I get it. It's the worst. Losing is like,
but winning is fun.
Oh, it's so fun. And losing is so bad. So let's go on to, someone's crying if it's close, good or bad. Okay. So like in the good scenarios, when we win and we determine like it's safe to go on the field, then we do. And then we go find dad, like whoever can find dad, like go, like we all like scatter and like, just try to get to him because there's players everywhere. There's cameras, there's reporters, there's, you know, all the things. So like whoever you can, like just get to dad because you just want to hug him and be like, hey, like, we haven't been easy in our house since Thursday. So we just want to congratulate him. Right. And mom brought up a really funny point tonight that she wanted me to talk about. So national championship, Ohio State, Jerry World couldn't get on the field.
Oh gosh.
I won't go into detail because this was not a pretty sight. I will say, mom was like, you realize if he wins this game, which we were going to win the game, it was like, it was safe. Like we were safe to be on the field. Like we weren't like gambling with karma by like going too early. Like we should have been out there. And I don't know, like, is this an NFL thing? Let us know. Like, do families not go on the field? I don't know, because it certainly felt like that was a very ridiculous request that we were like, we want to go on the field to see our dad who just
won a national
contributed to a national championship. So we couldn't get out and they were not letting mom out. And mom was like getting desperate because she was like, he needs me out there. I have to touch the trophy first. Like, you know, we have all seen it. She was like, I got to touch it. I got to touch the trophy. And the guards were like, no, ma'am. And so Tim Kite, who is like dad's counterpart in all leadership, like all above the line decisions and emotions and actions, is like whispering behind her, keep your cool, widen your lens of perspective, make good decisions, don't yell at them. Like basically just trying to keep her from like doing something catastrophic, which she probably did anyway, because that is like, don't mess with like the family at the end of a national championship. Like, let me on the freaking field and move out of my way. In fact, escort me to my dad. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? And they wouldn't even let her out there. So mom like wanted me to share that because that was like almost gone really rogue and really bad, but it was fixed. It wasn't, you know, it didn't end up like that. But Tim Kite was like whispering just words of wisdom. Like, don't say that. Don't call them names.
What a saint.
Don't push like whatever she was doing.
Oh my gosh. I remember that.
But yeah, like that's the only time we've ever had a problem. Otherwise, like it's mapped out. Like if we're winning, I don't care if I'm at Penn State, Michigan, I'm sorry, team up north, Ohio State. I don't care where I am. Like I'm going on the field after the game and all of the coaches' wives are coming. Like that's like how it goes. So that's just something predictable that you can expect after, during a game.
Right.
Now
for that incident, like from there on, we made sure there were arrangements that wasn't ever going to happen again.
where is my escort? I want him to have a sign, Shelly Meyer, like at the airport if you have a driver. Like
right now, but like that moment, man, that was hard. It was like, what do you mean we can't go see your dad right now? Like he's winning a national. Like, please. I know your only purpose right now is to just have authority and be on your high horse, but just let us go on the field. Come
let
on.
Us go on the field. Can you imagine if dad didn't, if we weren't out there?
Yeah.
What would he have done?
I don't know.
I think he would have grabbed the big mic and been like, where's my family? Like literally, like he wouldn't have known what to do.
Right.
Yeah. Team Meyer, please come to the 50-yard line immediately. And we're like stuck under the freaking tunnel somewhere. Yeah, it was brutal. It's all right though. If it's okay, Gigi, is it okay if I share just two little traditions that I personally have on game day?
Right. I want to hear it.
Okay. So my first thing is I used to go to school session because I really like to watch the team come in and speak, and like somebody different speaks every week, which is so cool because it's like either dad or it's a player, another coach, like, or it's somebody special that they like bring in for the week. School session is awesome. It's in St. John's Arena. They go from the Blackwell Hotel to St. John's Arena, which is like right next to it. And then they walk towards the stadium and fans go into St. John's Arena and they like pack it up and the band is in there and it's loud and it's so cool. But problem is I couldn't go there and then like walk and like try to catch them right before they went into the stadium too. So I had a choice to make and I just decided I'm just going to have to watch the clips on Twitter of St. John Arena later. And then I would go stand at the very front of, or the very end, I guess, of the Buckeye Walk. And there's this guy there and I hate myself for not knowing his name. They did like a segment on him, I think a couple years ago, because him and his family have this tradition where they stand at the opening of the shoe where the players come into the stadium with a bag of Buckeyes and each player grabs a Buckeye. It's so cool. So he would always give me one to give to Corey, but I would always stand there and I would hug dad. Dad was always in the front and I was there and like, he would look for me. Like I like could like see him like kind of looking for me and I'd be like, hey, I'm over here, and he'd come and he'd hug me and then he'd go in and all the players one by one would go in. And I had like my hug crew, like there were players that I would hug every time. And that was like most of the quarterbacks, obviously, cause that's like who Corey was coaching, our receivers. Like I was always like really close with the receivers because Corey had, you know, a lot of them as well. But then there's like my coaching crew that I would always hug and it'd be like Shiano, Coach Alford is always awesome. Like Keenan, like they would always come right to me and it was like, we just had our thing and it was awesome. And then Corey was always like near the back of the line and I'd hand him his Buckeye and he'd go in. Mm-hmm. But then like dad, which is so cool. And I really hope that this is somewhere public where people can see this. He would stand, he was in the front, like he led the line and then he'd turn around right before they get to the, like the tunnel to go into the locker room and he'd hug every player as they walk in. So cool. And I think he's done that for like basically ever. Like I think even like Florida and anywhere they've been like, and it's just so cool. Like I, you know, I just love that tradition.
I love it too. I think that's awesome. I remember one time you had Troy with you.
Yeah.
Dad came and just grabbed Troy and took him with him.
Yeah. I literally had Troy. He was 9 months old, 10 months old. And he had no pants on or no socks or shoes because it was really hot that day. And I just was like, we're just going to do a onesie with nothing. He luckily had on a onesie. He should have been in a diaper. It was so hot that day. And yeah, dad grabbed Troy. And then Corey was like, where's Troy? I was like, sorry, my dad got him. Yeah. So yeah, that was good.
Another cool memory I have of the walk. Okay. And it was in Gainesville at Florida and you were in college, but you came back and visited and Nancy helped you plan like the surprise trip back to Florida. And so at the end, we were at the end of the walk and you surprised dad and dad
yes.
Lit up. Remember his face when he saw you? That was
I literally have a picture in my closet of that moment, like framed. I'm going to tweet it or post it on my Instagram. So Nancy was dad's secretary at Florida and she is so amazing. Like she would literally send us care packages that our dad would basically like write a note and put in the care package. So we thought the care package was from our dad, but we knew it really was from Nancy plus a note from dad. You know what I mean? And she helped me coordinate plane tickets and like everything. Yeah. And I stood at the very end of Florida, and that was 2009. Yeah. And I was the first kid to go to college. So that was like, it was like the first time someone was like not there. So it was a really cool experience to be able to go back like and surprise them. It was a
tradition for mom and I to be at the end there. And,
yeah.
And so dad was in his game mode, you know, and he's like, sees us and he's like, hi. And then he sees you and he like lights up and we're like, oh my gosh, that's pretty cool.
It was like a double take. He was like, what?
Yeah. He was like, wait, what are you doing here?
I know. Oh my gosh. I'm going to post that pic because it's literally in a frame. Mm-hmm. That was over 10 years ago. So, okay. We do have some of the best scenarios or the best game memories ever. We're going to save that for the next episode. So this basically is the teaser of the actual games that we want to talk about. So if you have a specific game that you feel is one of the best you've ever witnessed, make sure you send it to us this week because we'll talk about it because our perspective on that game is probably really funny and very similar to yours. So anyways, that's what we're going to talk about next week is our top game, specific game memories. But yeah, today I think that was just a really good teaser of what game day actually looks like. Gigi, any final thoughts on our game day routine?
I don't think so. I think you did pretty good. I can already think of my favorite game though and favorite memory.
Oh my God, I have so many. I want to talk about it right now. Right meow. I have so many.
You have the same, but I feel like they're all the blur. Dad has like this amazing skill where he knows exactly what happened in whatever game 12 years ago in third quarter when there's 4.5 minutes left. He like knows exactly what happened at that moment. And I'm like, I feel like exactly in my life is just, it's all one.
It's all one jumble ball. But then you call dad and you ask him something and then he doesn't do it and you call him 12 minutes later and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. I know. And you're like, but you remember what yard line and hash mark we were at 19 years ago against some random team? Unbelievable. All right, good. Well, okay, send us your favorite games because we will talk about them, I promise. And I literally would put money on it that the majority of me and you, Gigi, plus anybody who submits anything, it's probably, I would say about the same like 10 games because there are like 10 that are legendary. And this isn't only specific to Ohio State. So if you're Florida or Utah or Bowling Green, whatever, submit it because they're all, you know, there's lots of treasures in there. So we'll talk about them all. Anyways. Thank you so much for joining us. This was really fun. Obviously, we just freaking love this podcast. It's like such a treat to get on and like reminisce about all this good stuff. So thanks for joining us. I'm Nikki. I'm your host.
I'm Gigi. I'm your co-host.
And until next time,
Meyer out.